kind of making some transition there. I want to say thank you for being here today. On behalf of my wife and myself and Turning Point Apostolic Church, thank you for choosing to be here with us today. Of all the places you could have gone, you chose to be here at Turning Point, and we appreciate you choosing to be here to worship our Savior with us. We're here to celebrate a resurrection. Amen. And I've had a few old courses on my heart lately that I thought I'd just kind of sing while we're kind of transitioning here, and maybe you'd like to sing along with me if you know them. Pardon me. Excuse me. I think the Lord's getting even with me for a little April Fool's joke I did earlier on. When Brother and Sister Barrow came in, I said, "Praise the Lord." And they said, "You got laryngitis?" And I said, "Of all days for the pastor to get laryngitis on April Fool's Day." we don't celebrate April Fool's Day around here, but Lord, forgive me for that and help me to not lose my voice. Oh, Jesus, help me if you know. Oh, Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Jesus, oh, Jesus, without him, this one's been on my heart too. It says, without him I would be nothing. Without him I would but fail. Without him I would sing that with me. Without him. For without him I would be nothing. Without him I would but fail. Without him I How about this one? You know this? And I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, to slip a hand in the air as we sing it to the Lord. I need thee. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it with me one time. Let me walk with you.
Now let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone.
Oh, for without you.
For without you, I could never.
If that's the way you feel about it, why don't you just give him some mighty praise right now? Glory to God. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach for just a few minutes about what Easter means to me. Is that all right if I just share with you what Easter means to me? And I think I can say it probably means to you. In Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 45, the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And that's what we're here today to celebrate. We're here today to celebrate not a crucified Savior. That's only part of the story. If he was only crucified, we don't have reason to shout today. But we also celebrate a Savior that didn't ask us to die for him. But he came and died for us, and then didn't stay in the grave, but on the third day he rose from the dead. And that verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Let me say this: he didn't die and buried and rose from the dead. He didn't do those things just so we could come once a year and celebrate a thing called Easter or Resurrection Sunday. But really, this is Jesus is saying, this is what it's all about. Why? So that the gospel can be preached. So that repentance and forgiveness, remission of sins could be preached in his name everywhere among all nations. And he says in verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And then he says, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That was one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples after his death, burial, resurrection. He appears to them one more time, gives them these instructions, and he says, this is why I've had to die. This is why I've risen from the dead now, so that remission of sins could be preached everywhere in all the world. And then he said, now I want you to go to Jerusalem and stay there until you get this power from on high. How many know what he was talking about that power? Talking about the Holy Ghost. Then when we get to the book of Acts, a wonderful book in the New Testament that tells the story of the inception of the New Testament church, of which we are a part, thank God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And it tells the story. If you ever want some good reading, just open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Start around chapter 1. Or if you don't have time to read a few chapters, start at chapter 2 and read what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When suddenly in that upper room, because there they went. Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. And so there they went, 120 of them to Jerusalem, went up in this upper room of a house. And there they didn't know what they were waiting on. They just prayed and waited and trusted God. And the Bible says they were there in one accord. They were all together in one place in unity and praying. And the Bible says that suddenly the room was filled with a noise and the room was filled with the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost fell on every one of them that were there, and they all spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. That's the way the church came in. Can I tell you? That's the way the church is going out of here. We're not going out of here fizzling out. We're going out of here with the power of God resonating throughout the body of Christ. I believe we came in as tongue talkers. I believe we're going out as tongue talkers. We came in with a fire, Brother Jerry. We're going to go out with a fire. We came in with power. We're going out with power. I refuse to believe that Jesus is coming and rapturing some anemic, weak-kneed church, barely making it from day to day. I believe he's coming back for a power-packed, Holy Ghost-filled, powerfully anointed body of Christ that is going around healing the sick, praying over spirits. Come on, somebody. And the power of God moving in their midst. That's the church that Jesus is coming back for. I want to say this today. Maybe somebody's watching me online. If you're in something dead and dry, I don't mean to throw stones, but you need to find something that is alive and is powerful. You ought to feel a little bit different when you leave than when you came. You should feel the power of God. You ought to feel the anointing of God. You shouldn't leave the way you came. Find you a church where the Holy Ghost moves. Find you a church where the power of God is there. Find you a church where miracles happen and people's lives are changed. Hallelujah. I preach faster when you get with me, by the way. I'm the only thing standing between you and Easter lunch. And we get to chapter 2 of the book of Acts. After the Holy Ghost fell, and all these people are inquisitive. What's going on? What is this all about? All these people looking in on it didn't understand what was going on. They start mocking them, saying they're drunk and they're full of wine. And so Peter stood up and began to preach to them. No. This isn't. These men aren't drunk like you think they are. This is what was prophesied by Joel back in that Old Testament prophecy. And he said that the Spirit is going to fall upon all flesh. He says, you're seeing it. He said, this that you see is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And you're seeing it fulfilled, come to fruition before your very eyes. He says, this is that. And then they said, well, if that's the case, what shall we do? What do we need to do to be saved? And Peter preached this wonderful plan of salvation in Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, where Peter said unto them, repent. Now, what did Jesus say was going to be preached? Repentance. And so Peter says, here's what you need to do. See, this is what if I could get an audience with every preacher in the world, I would tell them this. Would you just do what Jesus said to do? Would you leave your ideologies out of it? Would you leave your opinions out of it? Would you leave your personal, your person? Just lay that aside and get in and find out what does Jesus tell you to preach? The word. Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. That's what we're instructed to do. So Jesus said, go preach repentance. So Peter didn't get up there with a 12-point message and a PowerPoint and didn't have a big choir behind him and lights and everything. He just got up and said, well, Jesus said to preach repentance, so here's what you need to do. You need to repent. I am remiss today if I have this beautiful crowd here this morning and don't preach to you and tell you that the first thing you've got to do to come to Jesus is repent of your sins. You tell God, I am sorry, and be sorry. And Lord, I want to turn away from my wicked ways and my sinful ways, and I don't want to be a sinner anymore. The first thing you must do is repent. Peter said it. And so it doesn't stop with repentance. Or we don't need that word and. And be baptized. Some of you. Come on now, it's on the screen. You got to help me. This is April Fool's. You got to keep an eye on me now. And be baptized, most of you. Just the grown-ups. Just everybody over 60. Just everybody that thinks they're going to die this year. Just everybody that was in a car wreck, got scared they were going to die. No, and be baptized. And he pointed, every one of you have to be baptized in the name of, help me read it now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Listen, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and I don't want to diminish your experience with God, but my Bible says that you must be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when we get to the book of Acts, that's exactly what Peter told us to do. He said, be baptized in the name of Jesus, because the name of the Father is Jesus, and the name of the Son is Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And so when you go in that water, ma'am, when you go in that water, sir, you better have that preacher utter the name of Jesus over your life so your sins are washed away. Oh, come on, I'm preaching that there's hope, there's salvation. That's what Easter is all about. It's about a salvation message. We came into this world as sinners, but we don't have to die a sinner. We don't have to go out a sinner. There may be somebody here this morning and you feel like there's no hope for you, and the devil's tried to convince you that there's no way you could ever be saved and you can never be in the church and you can never serve God. Listen, I want some of you church members, raise your hand if the devil ever tried to tell you that story. Raise your hand. And here you are, right? Serving God, doing your best to get to heaven, praying through things and overcoming things. And I'm going to tell you, if the devil lied to them, the devil's lying to you too. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus has power over every sin. And it doesn't matter what you've done, who you've done it with, when you did it, how bad it was. Jesus Christ says, if you'll go down in the name of Jesus, your sins will be washed away and you'll be made white as snow. You ought to clap your hands for that today. You ought to clap your hands and give God praise, because every sin is washed away in the waters of baptism. Amen. Devil is a liar. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just like these 120 got it, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Just like everybody else in the New Testament that got the Holy Ghost got it. Evidenced by speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. He says, you're going to receive it. Every one of you, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me pause and tell you, this isn't just for a select few. This isn't just for people that want to, climb a little higher, get a little closer to the Lord. This is for everyone. It is a gift for everybody. And the Lord wants you to be filled with His precious Spirit. It'll change your life. I read recently in a book I was reading, this astounded me. I read recently that the self-help book business, you know, when you go into the bookstores, and I love bookstores. I still like paper. I still like to smell paper and handle paper and flip through paper. Now, I'm not stick in the mud. I got an iPad. I like all the technology too. But when it comes to reading, there's just something about being able to pull out a book. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you people that are over 50, you know what I'm talking about. Over 40, over 30. But I used to, you know, so years I've been going in bookstores, and it used to be that you had to look for, if you were looking for a self-help book, you had to look and look and look, and there might be one little shelf with a few books, but now it's the biggest section in the bookstore. You got to look for everything else. The self-help. I mean, they tell you this many steps, how to do these things. If you're trying to lose weight, here, you can lose weight in 3 weeks by these 12 easy steps. And if it was that easy, we'd all be skinny, right? Come on now. It ain't easy. And I tried all the steps, and there's more than 12. They look like this. And how to help yourself get out to not be a diabetic, and how to help yourself not to be so negative, and how to be a better you, and how to have a better family, and have a new marriage by Friday, and have a new child by Friday. Yeah, right. Right. Whatever you do. And so we go in, and what's ironic is people will go to the counter and ask somebody to show them where the self-help section is. Anyway, that'll sink in later. I think that's funny. I read that that is an $11 billion industry, because everybody has something they're trying to improve on. I'm negative. I need help. I overeat. I need help. My family's a mess. I need help. I'm a lousy husband. I need help. I'm an alcoholic. I need help. I'm on drugs. I need help. And so the devil says to you, you can help yourself. And here's a bunch of books for you to read. That. Now, I'm not preaching against those. I have some of them on my shelves. I'm not saying that everything that is in the self-help genre is evil or bad. I don't mean that. I'm simply saying that for it to be an $11 billion industry tells me something. But do you know what's still the number one seller? Still going strong. You know why? Because get rid of all the 12 easy steps, 3 easy steps, 3 weeks, knew this by Friday. It's still the Word of God preached into our lives, bought into our soul that changes us from the inside out. And it's still the only thing that really works every single time. And I'm telling you, if you'll get in the Word, love the Word, devour the Word, live by the Word, hear me now, it'll change your life. I'm not saying that there aren't some books out there that have helped alcoholics get off alcohol. I believe there are. I believe Alcoholics Anonymous is a good institution, and it's helped a lot of people, but it doesn't help everybody. And I'm not saying that there's not some books out there that have helped people lose weight. There are. They're out there. I'm not saying there's not some books out there that have helped people's marriages. I know they're out there. All I'm simply saying is this is guaranteed to work. This works every single time. And there are people in this audience this morning, this congregation this morning, who were alcoholics, but they read the Word and they repented and they meant it and they were baptized and their sins were washed away and they received the Holy Ghost and it got on the inside of them. And once the Holy Ghost got in the inside of them, how many know that when the Holy Spirit gets inside of you, it starts working on your life? It begins to change the things you crave, the things you desire. The Holy Ghost does a work every single time. There are people here this morning that were hooked on alcohol that haven't had a drink for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. There are people who were hooked on drugs who haven't shot up, snorted up, smoked up, amen, doped up for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, not because they went to some drug addiction self-help group, but because they got in the Word and they repented and they meant it and they were baptized and their sins were washed away and they received the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost delivered them. I'm preaching today about deliverance, supernatural, miraculous deliverance. Word of God, number one seller, still is, still going strong. You won't find any self-help stuff in here, but you'll find a lot of God help stuff. You'll find things to say, lean not to your own understanding. Because it's not in man to direct his own steps. You'll see things that say, Lord, your ways are far above my ways. I cannot even attain unto your ways. You're way up there. I'm way down here. But Lord, if you'll let me, I'll walk with you. Just let me walk with you, Jesus. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Oh. Without you, I would be nothing. And we really do need him. We really do need the Lord. Doing okay? This is the original New Testament plan of salvation. And it's still the plan of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you've received, wherein you stand, that by which, verse 2, you are saved, if you keep it in memory that I preached to you. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He took your place. Sin requires a sacrifice, but there was none worthy to offer the sacrifice. So, thank God, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. He died for our sins. So, before this day ends, if you haven't already, Would you take time and thank him for dying for your sins? Romans 6:2, how shall we live that are dead to sin? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He died, look at this, he, Jesus, died a literal death. We die a figurative death to our sins. Paul says, how can we live in our sins anymore? How can we live any longer in our sins? We have to die to our sins. This is called repentance. What happens at an altar of repentance is powerful, and it should not be overlooked. We can't stop preaching repentance. We can't tell you, just raise your hand if you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, and not tell you, you got to repent. It can't be overlooked or discounted or hurried through. There's something wonderful that happens when we bow our knees before the Lord and we express our godly sorrow for our sins, to ask forgiveness and determine to turn away from anything that displeases the Lord. That's repentance. It's not a decision to adhere to a list of rules or regulations, do's and don'ts, promise to abide by some religious set of rules. It's so much deeper than that. Repentance. It's not a vow to be better or to be good, spawned by a fear of going to hell. It's so much more than that. Repentance is a realization that I am so far from what God desires from me and for me, that I am moved with a godly desire to completely shed my old man and everything that would separate me from his glory. Repentance says, Lord, forgive me, and may my flesh die at this altar. Let everything that's not like you be consumed on this altar, right here, right now. Let me say it this way. He died on the cross so that you and I could die at an altar. I don't have to go to the cross. I can go to the altar. He died a literal death so that I could die a figurative death. He died a literal death on a cross so I could die figuratively at an altar and say, God, here it is. Here's all my desires, all my sin. I lay it down. Amen. So if you haven't repented, I encourage you, I strongly implore you, before you leave this service, or at least before this day ends, bow your knee before your God and pray a prayer of repentance to your Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was, everybody say, buried. He was buried. Everybody say, and he arose. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. They buried Jesus in a tomb. Romans 6, Paul says in verse 3, know you not that so many of us that were baptized unto Jesus, now watch this, he's getting ready to explain to us what happens in baptism. When we put people in this water and lay them back under the water, Paul says, this is what happens. Do you understand that you that are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him, hallelujah, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So you can't just repent, because that's figuratively dying. If all you do is die, you're going to stink. You got to go to the grave and be buried in Jesus' name. How are we doing? And the Bible says when that happens, we're buried with him into death so that we can be raised again. He was buried in a tomb so we could be buried in water baptism. And it's in baptism that you are cleansed. The old man is buried. Your sins are remitted. You go down dirty, but you come up clean. You go down the old man, the old woman, but you come up a brand new creature. Oh, it's a powerful thing. If you've never been baptized, now hear me, in the name of Jesus, don't leave here today without getting baptized in Jesus' name. We've already got two that are going to be baptized. My grandsons are going to be baptized today before the day ends. They're shy, so they're going to wait till all of you leave. our family's getting over here in the fellowship hall later having pizza. So between here and pizza, we're going to do baptism for two of my grandbabies. Amen. They're going to get baptized. I shouldn't say grandbabies. They're 10 and 9 years old. We can do that for you too. You don't have to do it in front of everybody. It's good if you do, but you don't have to do it in front of everybody. But you do need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus. We have clothes here. We have towels. We have the water. We have the preacher. We have everything you need. Amen. He was buried. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus rose from the dead so that you and I can have life. So we're buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He rose from the grave so you and I can have a new life. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, makes us new creatures. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. Listen, this isn't all about just not going to hell. Now, let me say this. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And the Bible only says we're going to one of those two places. But this isn't just about escaping hell. I'm talking to you about a better culture, a better life, a better way to live, and certainly a better way to die. Not bound by fear, not bound by anxiety, not bound by addiction, not bound by sin. Not stuck. It's a better life. Hallelujah. Now listen, I would tell you right now, you're in a church full of people that believe what I'm preaching. But you're also in a church full of people. The other night I said, how many of you feel like you've been going through some things? And man, about half the people raised their hands, going through some things. And somebody told me after church, I was shocked. I was going through stuff and I didn't know everybody else. You know why you didn't know everybody else was? Because people who've been born again, we go through stuff, but we don't go through it the same way as people that aren't born again. 7 o'clock this morning, now about 6:30 this morning, my alarm went off and my eyes popped open. And I didn't say, oh, Easter. I got to go to church. I got to face 300 people. I got to preach. Probably going to have to pray for some people. Oh yeah, I got to baptize some people today. My eyes popped open. My head popped off the pillow. You think I don't go through stuff? You're wrong. I got the same junk and the same gates of hell that come against you come against me. But you'll be hard-pressed to know it all the time. Because I got the Holy Ghost. And it's not about, do I have problems? It's about which is greater. And my Bible tells me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So whatever I have to go through the world, whatever I have to walk through in the world, I've got something that is better, that is stronger, that is more powerful. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So my head pops off the pillow, my feet hit the floor, I jump up out of my bed, I get my shower, I come to church with a smile. Amen. I come to church so happy, I play practical jokes on people. I used to work with a guy back when I worked at a juvenile correctional facility. He was one of the boys there, but they knew I was a preacher. And he worked with me for a while. I ran the kitchen, and so he was one of the KPs, and so I saw him every day. And one day he told me, he said, you're not like other preachers I've known. I wasn't quite sure how to take that at first. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, preachers I know, they're always just so really serious and stiff and never smile. And I said, well, you don't know the right preachers. Man, what I got gave me joy. I smile more than I frown. Now, I'm not saying I don't frown. Come on, you. But I smile more than I frown. Amen. And I got bounce in my step more than I don't. And I pop up out of bed more than I want to lay there and pull the covers over my head. I'm just telling you, this is a better way to live. I'm preaching to you about something better than living out in the world. I got to get out of the way. I promised myself I would preach very short today and that you would leave here saying, he's a really good short preacher. But you're going to have to be talking about my stature if you say that, because I'm not going to be short in my sermon. But the musicians are going to come right now just to give you some sense that I'm about to quit here. I have been so blessed in church services that I'll just tell you this. This will grow some of y'all out, but one of the biggest challenges my dry cleaner has is getting sweat stains out of my suits. I know that's gross. If you think that's gross, don't open a dry cleaner, because I may come to you and say. But I just get so excited at church. And I don't normally take my jacket off. I just leave it on. But I sweat through my jackets. I sweat through my pants, my socks, my shoes. I remember one night I had black shoes on and they had white salt marks on the shoes where I sweat so much that I, ew, that's gross. But that's, listen, you go out there and play basketball and get all that sweaty. Right, right, right. Right. Yeah. Or I know people go to ball games. They're not even playing. They're just in the audience. Sweat pouring down them, shirt off, got letters written on their chest and acting all crazy, got crazy hats on, number one and all that. And then they point to people at church and say, you're all crazy acting like that at church. Well, I have yet to take my shirt off at church and paint Jesus on my chest. I say we're crazy if you want to, but that's crazy. Come on now. I'm so sorry to give you that image. Oh, my Lord, forgive me. Jesus, help me, Lord. Oh, I hope you come back next Easter. I hope you come back next Sunday. Let me say that. I should rephrase that. He don't want us to come back till next Easter. I'm just telling you, I've had these services where I have, at the end of it, I have been so spent. I've had services where I've got drunk, didn't sip a sip of anything. But the Holy Ghost, so, now I'm not trying to scare any of you, because the Holy Ghost won't force that on you. But I just welcomed it so much, enjoyed it so much, soaked it up so much that I couldn't walk straight. But here's the deal. I have worn my body out so physically that I've sweat through everything I got on. Wake up the next day, bam! Not a sore muscle, not a sore joint. No headache. I'm not depleted. I've got energy. I mean, I've been in services where it's equivalent of running a marathon when I get done. But the next day, I just pop up, Brother Chad, ready to go. Bam. Brother Hawkins, you're bragging on yourself. Uh-uh. I'm telling you, this is the best way to live. You go out and run your marathons, you'll be tired tomorrow. Some of you are looking at me like, why in the world would anybody run a marathon anyway? I know that's crazy, but some people like to do that stuff. You get tired the next day. And you get drunk, some of y'all, the way you get drunk. I will never forget this. Years ago, I worked with this young lady. She lived a pretty rough lifestyle. This was not at the juvenile center, somewhere else. But she liked her partying. She partied hard. There would be days we'd come in after the weekend, Monday mornings, and man, I just whistling. I worked at Long John Silver's. I managed at Long John Silver's. And I'd come in, cutting fish, you know, bouncing. She'd just come dragging in, mad at everybody. Bad day. And looked like she slept in her clothes, maybe had. She told me this story. Now, I've already grossed you out, so let me gross you out a little more. She told me this story. She said, well, she was so drunk one night. She said, she got drunk. She passed out. She had been to White Castle. See where this is going? This is gross, right? Couldn't be Wendy's. It was White Castle's. I'm not going to get that gross. You're getting ahead of me, see? She passed out. She said she went to sleep. She slept for hours. She said, I woke up and I was so hungry. She said, I saw a half-eaten White Castle laying over there on the dresser, so I just ate it. And it was so good. And then she got sick. And she's telling me this like, I'm sorry, if anybody's here today and this is your lifestyle, I'll just be honest with you, I don't get it. I don't get it. I understand being addicted. I get that. I understand being stuck. I don't understand you enjoying it. Oh, I partied so hard, I got sick on White Castle. That's the way she would tell the story. I got so sick, I got the dry heaves. And then this is what she told me. She said, Ron, you don't know what you're missing. I'm not making this up. Because she knew I'd never been drunk. I've never drunk. You know, I've never drank. I've never done drugs. Never done any of that. Just never did it. The Lord kept me from that. And I don't have to go do it to know that I'm better off not doing it. And she said, you don't know what you're missing. And I said, well, you're describing it pretty good. And I said, her name was Billy. I said, Billy, you don't know what you're missing. When I get drunk, I don't get sick. I don't get dry heaves. I don't eat old, half-eaten White Castle sandwiches. I don't wake up the next day with my head throbbing and going into work like I slept in my clothes, dragging in. This high that I get never stops. It's just a better way to live. It's the best way to live. It's the only way to die. It's to be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready. And to live for the Lord and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I've never woke up worn out because I worshiped so hard the night before. I've never woke up sore. You can stand if you don't mind. I've never woke up sore that I couldn't move and stiff that I couldn't move because I worshiped so much the night before. I have never woke up with a hangover. I hope I don't sound like I'm bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm bragging on the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is the way to live. Now, my wife's out here, and she can hold me to this. Honey, have we ever argued? I'm not done. Hang on. Her eyebrow shot up. Give me the microphone. Have we ever argued over the Holy Ghost moving so much that one of us got drunk? Ever argued so much that the Holy Ghost moved and we went home and said, you really acted foolish tonight. We've been married 31 years. I'm looking for an amen there. Yes, 31. 31 years. And I've done some goofy stuff. I'll tell you, one night over in the old church, I got to running. I couldn't help it. We had the amplifiers, they hung low. I hit one of them, they swung, fell on the floor. And the devil said, you're an idiot. But my wife never said that. She's never made me feel, and we've never had one fight, one argument over something that the Holy Ghost has done in our lives. Now, you can't say that about beer. You can't say that about wine. You can't say that about drugs. You can't say that about your partying lifestyle. The Holy Ghost has never destroyed a marriage. The Holy Ghost has never messed up a kid's life. The Holy Ghost has never divided a home. The Holy Ghost has never caused somebody to get a DUI and spend the night in jail. I'm telling you, folks, given your options, this is the only way to live. He died so that you could live. He shed his blood so all your sins could be washed away. He made a way so you could be saved. Oh, why don't you just give the Lord a praise all over this building right now? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you that you died for our sins. We thank you that you've made a way. glory to God. I want you to raise your hands, would you, all over this building and just worship the Lord. I want you to know that this altar is open this morning. If there's anybody here that would like to come and pray, we'll pray with you. I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost is here to move and meet your needs. But why don't you at least just pray where you are right now? Would you just pray? You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel. But would you just pray to the Lord? Would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart? Maybe there's somebody here today that wants to repent. Maybe somebody's here today you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Maybe you'd like to receive the Holy Ghost. Maybe what I've preached today, you say, man, that sounds a lot better. That sounds like the way I want to live. Come on, the Lord is here right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shoulder and just praying God's blessings on them today, throughout this day, throughout this week. Lord, we pray you just bless my friends, bless my brothers, bless my sisters today, God. Bless them throughout this day. Lord, I ask you to lead them, ask you to guide them, ask you to help them, Lord. God, I ask you to encourage every heart, ask you to strengthen every life. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that your word would just take root in our hearts, in our lives today. We sure do give you glory. We sure do give you praise. You and you alone are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your anointing, I pray, God. Your power today, Lord. Hallelujah. Do a mighty work in the name of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? One more mighty hand clap of praise as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being with us today. We pray you were blessed by something in the service. We want to invite you back. We have no service tonight. We do normally have Sunday night services at 5:45, but not tonight. Our next service is Wednesday night at 7:30. We're going to have a great Bible study Wednesday night. We invite you all to come back. Come back next Sunday morning at 9:45. We're going to have a great service. The power of God is strong here, and the power of God moves in every service. Amen. If you know somebody that has a need in their life, bring them with you. Amen. Do we know how many we had here today yet, Brother Alot, Brother Pace? 271. Go find 29 people real quick and drag them in here. How many were on live stream? 20? 21? We need 8 more. Go find our live stream, share it with 8 people, all right? God bless you. We love you. Thanks for being here today. We were shooting for 300. We came close. Thanks for being with us today. God bless you. Have a great day. Amen. Shake hands. Be friendly. Come back. Happy Easter.
Thank you.